Sometimes I feel like I'm just walking around with my head up in the clouds. I'm steady moving, but I'm not gaining ground. Heading the wrong way in the crowd. When I remember I'm not part of this world, I'm moving higher each day. Upward mobility sounds mighty good to me. I just can't wait to get away. Got to remember I'm not here to stay. I'm looking forward to a brighter day. Got to remember I'm not here for long. I'm just living in my temporary home. Bothered by the problems in life, don't you let them get you down. Just look to Jesus, you will not be denied. He'll move you up to higher ground. Don't you forget that you're a child of the King, that you're an heir to His throne. You may not know just when He's coming back again. He'll take us to our happy home. Got to remember I'm not here to stay. I'm looking forward to a brighter day. Got to remember I'm not here for long. I'm just living in my temporary home. Got to remember I'm not here to stay. I'm looking forward to a brighter day. Got to remember I'm not here for long. I'm just living in my temporary
God. Hope everyone's doing well this morning. So good to see y'all, and welcome to all our visitors. Really excited about what the Lord has in store for us, and just a wonderful time, especially now these days. You know, I think if we give everything to the Lord and let Him just take each and every day, what a beautiful morning He's giving. Praise God. But every morning is beautiful. Let's all stand, if you will. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Excuse me, I'm trying to swallow a mint. Talked for the last hour now. Please get up here for a minute. You know, there's a lot of prayer requests going forward as people are coming in. There are a lot of needs, a lot of situations. We just know, God knows each and every one. But as we acknowledge Him and put our faith in Him, everything that we do, as we acknowledge our needs too, it's okay to give it to God. I think we should. We should give it to the Lord in Jesus' name. If you have a prayer request this morning, You know, God's touching right now. He already knows those situations. He knows the depths of our heart. We're going to go to Him in prayer. I also want to mention those that are traveling, those that are sick and shut in, those that aren't able to be with us right now. And we just keep each and every one of them in our prayers also. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, Lord, we just want to praise Your holy name. Lord, thank You again for this beautiful morning You've given us, for this opportunity You've given us to gather together in Your house, and in Your mighty name we come. Dear Lord, as we stand together this morning, dear Lord, may we be in one mind and one accord. Lord, we just want to worship You. We want to praise You. Lord, we just want to stand in awe of You, dear Lord, each and every moment of our lives. Dear Lord, know that without You, dear Lord, we're lost. But Lord, with You, all things are possible. Lord, as we come together this morning in our service, Lord, You see each and every individual here. Dear Lord, You've seen the hands that were raised. Dear Lord, You know the needs of each and every one. And dear Lord, we're placing them into Your mighty hands. Lord, we're asking You to heal. Lord, we're asking You to just to protect, provide. Lord, we're asking You to just let us have that free. Just feel Your holy presence, dear Lord, in all that we do. Lord, may we turn all of our cares and all of our needs over to You this morning, dear Lord, in each and every hour of our days. Lord, we just want to, again, just praise You. We thank You for the many answered prayers. Lord, for Your blessings, dear Lord, for Your love, Your mercy, and Your grace. Lord, for those watching online, dear Lord, we pray for each and every one. And, dear Lord, we thank You, dear Lord, for those in children's church, out in the nursery this morning, dear Lord, and for each and every situation that's gone forward. Lord, we also ask for You to bless our pastor, strengthen him. He brings forth Your word this morning, dear Lord, for all the festivities today. Lord, we just love You. Lord, we praise You. And, dear Lord, we receive Your word today. Dear Lord, receive You, dear Lord. Lord, we want to lift up those that are lost, those that are sick and shut in again, dear Lord. Just touch each and every one. And, Lord, we just give You all the honor and all the glory in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen, amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap. Praise God, praise God. While you're standing, turn to page 6. I want to know more about my Lord. As we sing this, I always say it, and I believe it in my heart. It's a call to get closer to the Lord, open up His Word, to study. I want to invite each and every one of you, if you're not already in Sunday school, come join us. We have some amazing classes. Want to know more about my Lord?
I wanna know more. said, Heavenly City, Heavenly City. I need more water, I need more water.
Wonderful day that'll be. Praise the Lord. You may be seated if you can. Turn around and tell somebody. Tell them good morning and that Jesus loves them. We just love each and every one of you. Y'all looking mighty pretty this morning. Sound like you're ready for church. Praise God. Praise God. Like I said, it's so good to see each and every one this morning. Just love y'all and just love this church and everything that it stands for. We're going to go ahead and take up our morning offering. Got a couple of special things that's going on this morning. So go ahead and go in that direction. And also, got a message that if we can meet with all the board members after service this morning, please. We're going to meet back in Brother Eddie's office, so take a few minutes to just ask you if you would. We'll have that meeting this morning. And also, just continue to mention Samaritan's Purse, Operation Christmas Child, and that it's that time of year. Miss Elaine has everything. She's in the nursery this morning, but if you have any questions, see her. And also, she wants y'all to know, if anyone wants to get just a shoebox like it's been done before and fill it, she has the boxes in right now. So, praise God. Any other announcements?
Oh, I have an announcement.
Yes, ma'am.
Actually, everybody's thinking about, you know, your fall stuff and your Thanksgiving stuff, and I've already gone way past you to Christmas.
Yes, us too.
So, we're getting stuff together for our Christmas program this year, and I really want your young people to help me mostly. And if they do commit to helping me, then I'm going to need you parents to make sure they get to practice, because it's not going to be your normal. We're just going to walk up here to the manger scene, and it's going to be out in the Curtis Center. It's going to be several different programs, and we're going to need all the help we can get. So just keep that in mind, and when we start practicing and stuff, I'll let you know.
Wonderful. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Love all the ministries that come forth. Brother Thomas, would you ask the Lord to bless our morning? Amen.
For our choir, we got a bunch of people out sick, so and one a couple traveling, so
and we haven't practiced this in a while, so don't know how this is gonna turn out.
Mm-hmm.
without your goodness, I would be desperate. Without your love, slave to the darkness, if it wasn't for the cross. You have won me with your kindness, chased me down when I was lost. Where would I be if it wasn't for the cross? Hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. I was a prisoner, now I'm not. With your blood you bought my freedom. Hallelujah, for the cross. All my shame was met with mercy. Now your mercy will be my song. Oh, the glory, oh, the power of the cross. Hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. I was a prisoner, now I'm not. With your blood you bought my freedom. Hallelujah, for the cross. By your stripes I'm healed, by your death I live. The power of sin is overcome, it is finished in His blood. By your stripes I'm healed, by your death I live. The power of sin is overcome, it is finished, it is done. By your stripes I'm healed, by your death I live. The power of sin is overcome, it is finished, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, I was a prisoner, now I'm not. You bought my freedom, hallelujah, for the cross. Hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. I was a prisoner, now I'm not. With your blood you bought my freedom. Hallelujah, for the cross.
Hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. I was a prisoner, now I'm not. 'Cause with your blood you bought my freedom. Oh, hallelujah, for the cross.
Lord, I confess, bowing here, I find my rest. Without you, I fall apart. You're the one that guides my heart. Lord, I need you. Lord, I need you.
righteousness. Oh God, how I need you.
Hallelujah.
For sin runs deep, your grace is more. Where grace is found is where you are.
And where you are, Lord, I am free. Holiness is crowned in me. Lord, I need you.
So teach my soul to rise to you. When temptation comes my way, and when I cannot stand, I'll fall on you. Jesus, you're my hope and stay.
She's had a heart attack. They're going to move her tomorrow and do the surgery then, and we need to stand right now. I'm asking every believer in the church this morning to agree with us this morning that God would touch and be with her daughter.
Yeah. Lord, I need you. I said, Lord, I need you. Every hour of every day. Amen. And I'm so thankful that he is always there for us. Amen. If you love Jesus this morning, let him know. Well, hang by for praise. My. You may be seated for just a moment. We have a very special honor this morning. We're going to be dedicating Mr. Hunter Lee Ivy to the Lord. Amen. So we're going to ask David and Kelsey to come forward this morning and sit here on the front pew. And family, if you want to join them, that's quite all right. If you want to make pictures and all, as we read some scripture and prepare to dedicate this young man to the Lord. Let's give them a hand. Amen. Praise God. Fine-looking family. Where do you get all that weight? That's amazing. You know, Hannah bare a son, and she called his name Samuel. She brought him into the house of the Lord in Shiloh to Eli the priest, and she said, "For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition. Therefore I have granted him to the Lord as long as he liveth." And Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and did let none of his words fall to the ground. In the New Testament we find and read, according to the infant Jesus Christ, when he was 8 days fulfilled, they called his name Jesus, and they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And he received him into his arms and blessed God and said, "Now let thou thy servant depart in peace, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation." And his father and his mother were marveling at the things which were spoken concerning him. And the child Jesus grew and waxed strong, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. The Bible tells us in Proverbs 22:6, "Train up a child in the way that he should go, and even when he is old, he will not depart." These words are, first of all, "And the Lord said unto Abraham that he will command his children and his household to do justice and judgment. These words which I command thee this day shall be upon thy heart. Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in the house, and when thou walkest in the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." Friends, today is a happy and significant occasion which brings us together. Just like Mary and Hannah of old, you have brought your child to the temple today to present him to the Lord. You have heard the invitation of the Master to suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of heaven. It is fitting that you should bring your child while the spell of his advent is still upon you. The mystery and wonder of this new life have brought you to stand reverently, thoughtfully before the Father of all life, and have given you a new and compelling message. The purpose of this service is to help you as mom and dad, as parents, to appreciate your obligation to train the child in the way that he should go. And at the age of responsibility, he will most naturally turn from the wrong into the right and accept Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. I believe that God has a purpose for this child's life, and to find that purpose and to live it out fully will mean success. To refuse or ignore it will mean failure, no matter how much worldly acclaim may come. It is your privilege, mom and dad, and the duty to guide your child in such a way as to make the will of God the greatest ambition of his life. To this task, you are called to consecrate yourselves today. To this end, you dedicate your child to God in accordance for the purpose for which you have come. Will you please stand and respond to the following covenant? Do you now present your child before God in solemn dedication? Do you consecrate yourselves as parents? Bring up your child in the nurture and admonition. Do you promise to instruct him in the teachings of Jesus Christ and in the practice of prayer? Guide him in the development of Christ-like. Do you promise to try to the best of your ability so to shape the home life of your child, both by family devotion, by your words, by your example, that he will at the proper age most naturally come to an open confession of Christ and into the fellowship? Inasmuch as you have promised before God and this people, dedicate your child to God, do yourselves to the task of rearing him. I charge you to address yourself to this sacred obligation. Wisdom, patience, devotion. To this end, may the blessing of God rest upon you. Now, Hunter, if you want to let me hold you, you're going to dedicate to the Lord.
Mr. Hunter Lee. Oh, how precious that is. I guess out of all the pastoral obligations, that ranks up there right around the top for me. And I still remember our children as we dedicated them to the Lord. And it's more than just a ritual. It's more than just a service. It's a lifelong commitment. Can you say amen? Praise the Lord. Well, if you have your Bibles, go with us this morning to the 126th Psalm. Psalms 126. And as you're standing, let all of our visitors know how much we love them and how glad we are that they came to worship the Lord with us this morning. Psalms 126. It's only six verses. I will read it in its entirety. Thank you for standing. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Can we pray? Heavenly Father, how we love you, how we thank you, God, for your mercy, for your grace, for your wonderful, abounding love, for the group that's gathered here today, God, for this congregation. I pray your anointing, pray your blessing, God, upon each and every one here, every family represented. Father, I humbly ask you now, God, to anoint this vessel, anoint these lips of clay. God, speak to us that you would have us to hear. God, let it may sink deep into our spirit, enrich our soul, God. And I pray, Lord, for a mighty anointing of your power and of your presence. And Father, we do remember those who today are sick today, and many are afflicted. Many are not able to be with us this morning. And I pray, God, you would minister healing and touch them and strengthen them and comfort in them in time of need. We'll give you praise and honor and glory. We ask these blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. If you love Jesus, give him a great big hand clap of praise. You may be seated. Well, glory. Turn to your neighbor and say, well, glory. Amen. And he's glad when they said, let us go into the house of the Lord. Find comfort and strength, amen, in the presence of God. This morning, I want to bring a message entitled, Do It Again, Lord. Do it again, Lord. I'm going to tell your neighbor, do it again, Lord. Amen. How many's ever been blessed? How many's ever had doors opened? Have you ever been healed? Have you ever had God to make a way? How many knows at some point in our life we're going to need him to do it again? Amen. But I tell you, the mercies and the grace of God are never, ever going to run out. And his riches are beyond our ability to even fathom. We find a story here written most likely by Ezra or one of the Jewish prophets as they were just released from Babylonian captivity. And it had been a great while that they had been in captivity. And now God began to move. How many knows that when it seems like that you have reached the very end of all of your trying and praying and trying to do things in your own way, that somehow God just kind of waits till we've done everything, exhausted all measures, and then he makes a way. I'll share with you, the reason he does that is because he wants you to give him honor and glory. Not that you did anything, but that he did it all. So after years and years and years of Babylonian captivity, the Bible tells us in the book of Ezra, chapter 1, verse 1, 2, and 3, now in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled. How many knows that true prophecy will be fulfilled? Not false prophecy, but true prophecy will be fulfilled. The Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, the king of Persia, that he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom, and he put it also in writing, saying, thus saith King Cyrus, king of Persia, the Lord God of heaven hath given me all the kingdoms of the earth. And he hath charged me to build him a house at Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Who is there among you of all his people? His God be with him, and let him go up to Jerusalem, which is in Judah, and build the house of the Lord God of Israel. He is God, which is in Jerusalem. Somebody tell me God still does miracles. Imagine the shock on the Jewish people when they heard this proclamation of Cyrus the king. After Nebuchadnezzar had torn Israel all apart, burned down the temple, and just taken the captive Jewish people away, and they probably thought that they'd never see their homeland again, all of a sudden God begins to move. I don't know who in the congregation needs to hear that, but when it seems like all hope is gone, God begins to move. When it seems like you can't take another step, God begins to move. When you've exhausted all of your energy and all the trying of you working things out, you finally release it to God, and God begins to move, and sometimes we stand back in total amazement at the way God begins to work a miracle. So here we are, all the children of Israel that want to go back and have a heart to build the temple back. You're free to go back to the homeland and begin to build the temple in Jerusalem. Now, although freed from bondage, they were still a poor, distressed people. Many of them still Babylon. Thought about those that were still in Babylon. Who would not want to leave Babylonian captivity given the opportunity? Who would not want to be redeemed? Who would not want to receive their salvation? Because they thought the price was too high, too hard. Probably thought that Cyrus was just playing a trick on them and was going to kill them when they leave. I don't know the reasoning. But let me tell you about a group of people. As soon as they saw the door of freedom open, they took it. I said, as soon as they saw that God had revealed unto them that I'm making a way for you, I'm opening a door for you, I'm putting a miracle right now before your eyes, you need to step forward, you need to go ahead and proclaim it, call it done, and don't stand back and wait on something else. But for some reason, some stayed behind. Now those that were redeemed, those that had received their freedom from bondage, imagine all the way to Jerusalem, they were glorifying and praising God. Got back to Jerusalem and everything was a spoil. It was just torn all apart. The temple was torn. Nevertheless, they began to start over. They began to rebuild. They began to glorify and praise God. But then, according to this psalm, there were some words and some petitions still that needed to be done by God. Now, one interpretation says, restore us, O Lord, when it says, turn again our captivity. But the word that struck me was the word again. Somebody in the congregation, I think, sings a song, God delivers again. I said, God delivers again. God will heal again. God will open doors again. God will set you free again. God will make a way again and again and again. As our faith is, so shall it be. So as they came back to Jerusalem and they saw the spoils and they saw the damage and the carnage, they began to pray and they realized that in years and years and years of captivity, they had nothing. They were poor, distressed, but they had their salvation and their freedom. Isn't it amazing that in the most devastating and trying times, the heart of a people will rise up within them and they begin to rebuild. They begin to restore. And they began to pick up the broken pieces because they had a heart within them to rebuild the spoils. The group of people that came out of Babylonian bondage and out of Babylonian captivity, they had a desire for God to be God again in their lives. So they said, do it again, Lord. Restore it. And the first thing that they began to pray for was the captives that were still in Babylonian captivity. Do you remember the day? Do you remember the night? Do you remember the time and place where you gave your heart to Jesus? When you asked Him to come in and fill up this body, fill up my soul. Lord, let it bubble over. Fill me up, Lord, till I can receive no more. Fill me from the bottom of my feet to the top of my head with Your Spirit, with Your anointing. God, I'm tired of the sinful life. I'm tired of everything falling down around me. I'm tired of the spoils that the devil has come in and taken away from me. God, revive me, fill me, anoint me, lift me up, bring me up upon that high place. But yet we begin to have a sincere desire for those who are still in bondage. We think of revival. We pray for revival. We yearn for restoration. We want the Lord to bless us again. But have we forgot that there's still some people in bondage? Have we been so captivated by the wonderful praise and worship and the glory that comes down? And I never discount that. I love it. I love it. Amen. I love when we're in one mind and one accord and we can feel the thickness of God's holy power and His presence coming down. But in our praise and in our worship and in our services and in our sermons, have we forgotten that there's still a part of the people who are in bondage? Return us, God. Restore us, God. Deliver us again. What You've done for me, do that for them. Bring them out. Fill them with Your Spirit. Let's have a Holy Ghost revival. Let's have a revival that tells the sinner, you need to be born again. You need to give your life to Jesus. As free as they weren't complete because they were family members back there. There were friends back there. Maybe spouses back there who were still in bondage. Can you not see that we need to be a time of restoration? We need to be a time of praying and seeking God for those who are bound by sin. Those who are so incorporated in the world today and so caught up in the things of the world today that they'll tell you, I don't have time. I don't have time to serve the Lord. I don't have time to give my life to Jesus. Lord of mercy, the most important thing that they can do in their time is seek first the kingdom of God. Do it again, Lord. Do it again. What You did for me, do it for my brother. Lord, what You did for me, do it for my sister. God, what You're doing for the church today, would You do it for those who are still in captivity, those who are still bound by the chains of sin and seemingly not aware of the situation that they're in. This song was sung continuously, history tells us. They would pick up the stones and they would clean the stones and wipe the smut and the smoke and the stains all and begin to rebuild. Man, many believe that we're in a time of restoration. That's a wonderful and very insightful look back into history of the beginning of the church again as they were resurrected out of the ashes and begin to build up the nation again and begin to rebuild the temple. Can you not see it's also a type and shadow what's happening in our world today? I was not born during the Great Depression, but I've read accounts of the Great Depression. I read how people's livelihoods were gone in just a matter of months. How people's lives were totally and absolutely changed. Not because of their ability, but because of the situation around them. Businesses fell. Stock markets crashed. Capitalism took a downfall. Businesses went upside down. People were barely getting by. There was not the ability to run down to Walmart and stock up on groceries. Times were hard. If you know anybody and have anybody in that generation, they'll share with you. But out of all of the ashes of futility and of despair and depression and the agony that comes along with all of that that had been lost, something began to happen. Something began to transform. And a people that had no other avenue to turn to except God. They could no longer depend on their ability. They could no longer depend on their livelihood. Their businesses were gone. Families were decimated. And the only thing that they had to turn to was power of God. And there began to be a stirring of the souls. There began to be a renewing of the spiritual walk with God. During the loss of businesses, something began to happen. Churches were erected. Not great and mighty high temples with steeples that reach way to the sky, but some were little storefront buildings. Some were just a little cabin in the woods. Some were just a pile of rocks out in the open air. There began to be brush arbor meetings. Why? Because the people had nowhere else to turn except to God. And there began to be a move of the mighty Spirit of God. Holy Ghost revival broke out all over the United States, from California all the way to New York. Why? Because the people were distressed. And the people had lost all faith in everything else except God. And I see the world today approaching the same situation. I don't know. It looks like to me, if we have the Bible that we can refer to, that we would have seen and learned that the children of God, time again and time again, when they were blessed, they began to be less dependent on God. They began to look at what they had and what they could do. And there crept into them a horrible spirit. A spirit to be and to mimic and to look like the rest of the world. That spirit is alive today. Let me tell you something. When we desire what the world is offering over what God is offering, we're setting ourselves up for a great and terrible fall. When we take our eyes off of the goodness of God and place it on the material things of this world, we're setting ourselves up for devastation and for captivity again, and a spiritual thing that'll come over this world, amen, that'll cause us, amen, to turn from our very source of power and strength, which is our Lord. So I learn from the psalm, restore us again, O Lord. Complete that work. I'll tell you about the beginning of salvation. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Remember the day? Remember the Lord saved you? How gloriously happy we were. How blessed we were. How on fire we were. Glory to God, how thankful we are. Glory to God. There was a new creation. Old things have passed away. The old man was gone, and in his place there was a new man, amen, putting on the power of Christ, living a life pleasing unto the Lord. And then as they were just set free, then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongues filled with singing. Then they said among the children, the Lord hath done great things. How many would agree with me? We need him to do it again. Do it again, Lord. Do it again. Now, if we pray do it again, then we must be prepared for it to be God's way. I want to tell you something. God doesn't always operate the same way you do, nor I. And he doesn't sit well with my advice, because my advice means nothing to him, because his ways and his thoughts are very high, very much higher than mine. And I know the church is praying, God, restore, revive, send revival. Let there be a Holy Ghost anointing. Let there be a power. I'll tell you something. I recall some of my grandparents talking about a time, listen, of hitching up the horses to a buggy to go to church. And the church wasn't down the street. It was an all-day thing. And they had service, and then they just had one service, and it was a long one. And then when they was coming back, then they had to unhitch the horses or the mules and put them up. And I'm going to shock you. There was not a McDonald's or a Burger King on their way home either. Because they had a hunger. Oh, I can't go to church because my babies have to have rest. I remember my grandparents, you know what they put in the buggy? They put some blankets and a quilt. And they laid the quilt down, and they laid the babies down, and they covered them up with blankets. And then their hands was raised, and they began to glorify and praise God. And a mighty move was done. People were saved in the community. People's lives were changed. Glory to God. There began to be a hunger for a mighty move of God. As a pastor, as a preacher, I say, do it again, God. Do it again. You did it before. You can do it again. Get us hungry. Get us needful on your power, your spirit, on the outpouring of the Holy Ghost today. You'll hear a lot of things today, what the world needs to do. Hear it in your barbershops. Hear it at your famous or most visited. I'll get it out in a minute. I was going to say your happy place, your restaurant where you go have your coffee and sausage and biscuits, you'll hear it there. This is what needs to be done. We need to do this. And then they drop that name. Somebody ought to do it. Somebody never shows up to do it. But I long for the communications. I long for the conversations. God, would you do it again? Lord, would you have mercy upon this nation again? God, would you pour out your spirit upon your people again? God, would you get us consecrated? Would you get us dedicated? Would you get us committed? Would you help us to be faithful? Lord, that we'll see the heavens open up and a pouring out of your anointing and a pouring out of your spirit and a pouring out of your healing and a pouring out of your restoration and a refreshing. I don't know about you, but I need a refreshing from God. Hallelujah. But what we don't pray, we don't ask, Lord, let it get so bad and so terrible that only you can fix it. We don't pray that. That's what it took. to get the children of Israel's heart right. Is that what it's going to take to get America's heart right? Is that what it's going to take to get the church's heart right? And we're more concerned about souls than we are about what song we're going to sing. More concerned about souls than who's going to preach. More concerned about souls, whether the air condition's too cold or too hot. Concerned about the padding on the pews. My wife's concerned about the padding on the pews. Not that they're too soft. They need cleaning, she said. We need to get up there and shampoo those padded pews. I'll tell you simply how to avoid from shampooing padded pews. Take them out. I was raised up going to church on straight back, hard wooden benches. Glory to God. I was so thankful when they said, let us stand and sing a song. Amen, brother. That might have been the reason so many Pentecostal movements spent most of their time in church on their feet, glorifying and praising the Lord. Because if you sit on them pews, you get a heart, you get a backache. They was hard as everything. What'd you say all that for? Has the church got too comfortable? Now, I believe in keep making the church as nice as we possibly can. But it's not a place to come and rest. I love you and I like to socialize, but it's not really a place to come and socialize. It's a place to come, amen, in earnest dedication and commitment, and let the Lord move for whatever time that we're here. We don't need to pump it up. We don't need to gear it up. We need to come in pumped up and geared up, and we need to leave the same way. If you really want restoration, if you really want God to do it again, then we must be in one mind and one accord, everybody on the same page. God, have your way, not my way, but God, you have your way. Pour your spirit out. Save souls. Glory to God. Bring folks back together. Fill up the church with hungry souls. Not just here, but all across the land. In every church. Every Bible-believing church. God, send your power again. Again. The depression in America birthed a spiritual revival. You've not had an opportunity read about the great movement on Azusa Street in California. Now, I know it's always easy for us to point to other things when we got situations right here in our own house, in our own community. But I want to tell you something. If there ever needed to be another move of God in the state of California, it's the day, the hour that we're living in. Man, I don't know. And it's not just in that state, it's in all states. I don't know what happened to the desire that it's more important to appease the flesh than it is to feed the soul. Some of it may fall on pastors. Have we preached the love of God so much that we have left out the judgment of God as well? Oh me, have we? It's just as real as there is a heaven, there is a hell. There's a place of burning torment the Bible speaks of. And if you believe for God so loved the world, you also believe that there's a place called hell. I do not go there. I do not want to go there because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. Because I realized, He made me realize that I could not make it on my own. But with Him, hallelujah, I know my destination. Glory to God. So are we willing to pray, Lord, whatever it takes? Whatever you need to do, God, just do it again. Do it again. Send a revival. Send a Holy Ghost. If the church gets revived, the Holy Ghost will be a revival. Because it'll send hungry souls in. Let me tell you something. People used just to wander into church services. I've heard testimonies where they were just walking by and they heard and felt such a powerful anointing inside the little church that they just had to go in. And chances are many times they wasn't even able to leave the church until they was in the altar praying. God, do it again. Do it again. Hallelujah. Let me tell you something, and I wasn't going to bring this out, but I think it fits anyway. Not only is the church a saving place, not the church. It's a place, amen, that we should be in one mind and one accord. And if there's anybody in the congregation who is lost, we need to be praying for them that they would leave today a brand new person. But I also want to tell you that the church is a place for healing and miracles. You see, that's not real popular now because something has happened in the world that lets people believe that you have to send in some money and we'll pray for your healing. No, no. I can't heal you. But I know a man who can. Hallelujah. We've heard of stories, but I have witnessed. I was blessed to be raised in church. And I have seen a lot of things. And I say, do it again, Lord. Do it again. This little church down here, and this congregation here, and the one where I received the baptism of the Holy Ghost in Rockmart, I have seen miracles performed that I knew came from God. There was a revival that lasted 2 weeks. Two evangelists took turns preaching one night after another. Let me tell you something. The church was not air-conditioned. They opened up the windows, and all along Litchfield Street, people were sitting out on their porch listening to the move of God. Some of them actually came. I personally witnessed crutches being thrown aside and people walking out just as good as I'm walking out. I personally witnessed a woman come running to the altar. She could not breathe. Whether it was an asthmatic attack or a heart attack, I don't know what it was, but the preachers laid their hand. I was just a young fella. I was just sitting there in total amazement. But they prayed for her. She walked out just glorifying and praising the Lord, breathing as good as any normal. I've seen things and things again. I saw a little girl whose daddy, tears running down his face, walked up and said, the doctors told me my little girl is not going to be able to walk. She's going to have polio and she's going to have braces. They prayed for her. He set her down. She was about 3 or 4 years old. She walked about 3 times around the pulpit. She's still walking today. She's still walking today. Right there, just about in front of where the brother McCoy is sitting, we were having service one night. A man fell out on the bench. They took his pulse. They could not get a pulse. They called 911. Some of them did. But the preachers gathered around him and began to pray. The blood began to come back into his face. Amen. He walked out of here alive and well. They said he had a heart attack, but praise God. All I'm saying is God has done it before. He'll do it again if we're hungry. He'll do it again if we want to see a mighty move of God. He'll do it again if we'll quit trying to do it ourselves and release it unto God. Hallelujah. Amen. A great dependency was established in that time of depression. Many more things that I could testify to, but I got to yield to the Spirit of God. Do we really believe that God will do it again? Lord, help us. Have your way, God. In this congregation, I believe that God would have me to tell you that you're facing one of the most desperate times in your life. And you've walked with God. You've served God. God has intervened time and time again for you, for your family. But out of desperation, out of almost an attitude of what's the use, you've decided that maybe this time God's not going to do it again. But I believe that the Lord would have me tell you that what He has done before, He'll do it again. He will restore. He will refresh. He will rebuild. He will strengthen. He will open a door if you'll just receive it right now by faith. This is not your time to give up. This is your time to give it up to Jesus. I'm going to ask the congregation to stand. If the music would come, I don't know, maybe a little bit of God delivers again. Just when it seems that all is lost, God delivers again. Every head bowed, every eye closed. God is speaking to someone right now. I'm going to ask you to come forward if He's speaking to your heart. If He's speaking to your situation, let us pray for you. Let us pray that God will do it again. Some of you elders and some of you believers, come and let's pray right now.
Again, yes, yes, yes.
reaches out his hand, then all the forces of evil have to flee at his command. Just when things look hopeless, my God delivers again. Oh, my God delivers again. Yes, my God delivers again.
It's time. I thank the Lord for the message this morning. You know, sometimes we have to be honest. Word has to go forth. got to go forth. And that's what's happened this morning. I love each and every one of you. Thank you for all that you do and all your prayers. We get ready, take an intermission for our service tonight. Just want to, if anyone still has a prayer request or a need, this altar's still open. We'll stay in prayer. Again, for all you watching online, if you have a prayer request, please put it in the comments section and we will pray. It's not our prayers, it's God. In the name of Jesus that we go to Him. Praise God. All hearts and minds clear. Powerful, powerful service. You know, each and every message is just getting stronger and stronger. No. And we love each and every one of you. So with this prayer, we're going to be dismissed, but know that we'll stay and pray with you. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for your word. Lord, thank you for your love for us, dear Lord, your mercy and your grace, dear Lord. Thank you for, dear Lord, just for all that you do, dear Lord, that you are. Lord, as we prepare now to depart, dear Lord, I pray for those in attendance today, those who may hear this message, Lord, that it'll open up a lot of eyes and hearts, dear Lord. Dear Lord, may we turn to you in each and everything that we do and each and everything that we are. And, dear Lord, we just praise and we worship you. Lord, again, we just give you all the honor and glory. We ask you to keep us safe. Bring us back at our appointed time, dear Lord, and we just thank you again for your love. In Jesus' name, we all say amen, amen. Amen. Have a wonderful afternoon. Praise